Again, our Venn State topics, filibuster reform in the Senate and fracking regulation. Why filibuster reform again? Well, the topic never seems to go away for very long anymore. Lately, it is about the fact that Republicans in the Senate are blocking President Obama's appointment to judgeships on the District Court of the District of Columbia. This is a particularly important court because it tends to rule not only on government doings, but justices on the D.C. Circuit often end up being nominated then for the Supreme Court. The Washington Post writes, the Republicans pushed to fill its 11 seats when George W. Bush was president. They now argue that the D.C. Circuit doesn't need more than its current 8 judges and that Mr. Obama is trying to pack the court. In an editorial, the Post continues, even if Republicans are right, they shouldn't insist on altering the size of a court only when it's a Democratic president's turn to pick judges or filibuster highly qualified nominees on that pretext. These moves are transparently self-serving and would encourage similar behavior by Democrats against Republican presidents. The recent history of the confirmation process is a steady descent into unreasonable partisanship. If acted upon, the Republicans' position would be another step down. It might also provoke another unnecessary battle over Senate rules, which could reshape the chamber in ways both parties would regret. So that's the major issue, I think, for anybody pushing for filibuster reform. If you get what you want now, when Democrats are the majority party in the Senate, do you then have what you would want when they are not? If the Republicans are the majority party, would you feel the same? What do you think about the way business goes on in the Senate? I mean, the fact that it does take 60 votes out of 100, which is not specified anywhere in the Constitution, this is simply Senate rules, 60 votes just to proceed to a vote. You only have to threaten a filibuster to stop anything at that 60-vote level. Is that fair? Is that proper? Should it change? If so, how? Would you change it just for appointments like we're talking about here, judgeships for the D.C. Circuit Court? Should it change for all legislation? 60 votes, is that an unreasonable level to reach for? Let's get your thoughts on Vince Day. 800-838-3760. Anywhere in our listening area in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Our other concern today, our other topic, fracking. Hydraulic fracturing, which opens up spaces underground, VAR underground, to let natural gas and oil out, petroleum products generally. State of California proposed a new set of rules for fracking within that state. California, the number 3 producing state of gas and oil in the country. And here's a story from the LA Times about it on Friday. Hailed by state officials as the toughest in the nation, the draft regulations issued Friday would require those who conduct fracking to get state permits, test groundwater quality, and notify neighbors before starting work. Regulations cover fracking and related techniques, and they provide substantial new public information about where and how fracking is taking place. Environmentalists contend that fracking could pollute drinking water wells, endanger public health, and release greenhouse gases that contribute to global warming. What's needed now, they said, is a statewide ban on fracking and related techniques until scientists can provide firm assurances that the practice won't cause harm. Catherine Phillips is California State Director of the Sierra Club. Her quote, "We want a timeout. At best, these regulations can be described as a mixed bag. At worst, they provide another example of an agency's continued deference to a regulated entity, even at the expense of public health and the environment." Nevertheless, some opponents conceded that the proposed regulations were better than nothing. Bill Alliott of the Environmental Working Group said, "There are some good provisions from our very preliminary review." So that's what's happening in California with the fracking regulations, the proposals to tighten things up in California. What do you think? Hydraulic fracturing, is the practice good under any circumstances? And if there are some circumstances in which it should continue, what would those circumstances be? If it were up to you, somebody said, you're the boss, you set up the rules for hydraulic fracturing, what would your rules on fracking be? Let's hear your thoughts on fracking regulations and filibuster reform in the U.S. Senate. What should be happening in the U.S. Senate? Is that 60-vote margin ridiculous in your mind? Is it a good hedge against the abuses of one party over the other? Join us on The Exchange on Vents Day, 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. Rogue Valley local number is 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Joe in Talent emailed already his message. The principle of governance in this country is majority rule. 51% is majority. If you have one candidate who gets 1 million votes and the other gets 1 million and one votes, he or she wins. The 60-vote rule was put in place to protect the minority, not allow Republicans to hold hostage the wishes of the majority. Senate Republicans have made a mockery of the principle of majority rule, and I think we need to trust the system to work. It seems to have in the past. That email from Joe in Talent, weighing in on filibuster reform. Your thoughts, filibuster reform and or fracking regulation, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Bill in Sunny Valley. Welcome to The Exchange on Vince Day.
Morning, Jeffrey. Thank you. I think you know I'm an oil and gas man, but I've been in industry for over 35 years and different aspects of the industry. Years ago, when I first got in it, we could only drill vertical. We could not drill the horizontal wells like we could can today. What I mean by that, we could drill 20 to 30,000 foot deep vertically. Now we can drill down 10,000 feet vertically, and then from that same well go 10 to 20,000 feet horizontally, just to give you a setup here.
So you're really going down and then way across. I mean, we're talking miles, too.
Exactly, yeah, and it's all because technology of different types, metallurgy, the drilling fluids, the drill bits, the downhole motors, the electronics, and everything that's really improved, all of a sudden came to a mutual meeting point where we could do this horizontal drilling, and it's really enhanced the oil and gas production in the wells in this country, which is why our production is so high and we're able to sell oil and gas overseas even now. Never even thought this could even happen. Well, I'm not for or against this fracking of this program, okay? I just want to be clear on that. I just want to put some facts out.
All right.
It's a very complex operation. And years ago, we only did it to enhance and stimulate the wells whenever they would deplete.
Existing wells you're talking about then.
Exactly, yeah. Whereas today, they're actually fracking wells right after they finish drilling them, in order to enhance the production of the wells from their initial production stages.
So these are wells that really would have been considered dry holes in previous generations.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And so, but the thing is they're fracking horizontally. So if you can imagine a well being horizontal instead of just vertical, it's exposing 10 to 20,000 feet of a producing formation to one well instead of just, say, 100 feet of a geologic formation of oil and gas to one well. See, that's quite a ratio, 100 feet to 10 to 20,000 feet.
So we're talking essentially seams and layers in the earth that are much more open to a horizontal well simply because of the way the earth is composed.
Yeah, right. And, you know, and they can control this fracking. And that's what they're doing now. Is it's just a big study all over the country, and not just in this country, but all over the world. They're studying this fracking to determine just what can be done to, you know, control the fracking process. And a lot of the operators do frack responsibly. And, of course, like anything, there's the irresponsible element as well. And this is what we're dealing with, is the EPA, as well as a lot of other entities, are actually studying fracking that's in the process now, so they can come up with some standards so as to please the industry, please the consumer such as you and I, and everybody involved, so that they don't damage water zones, if that's even the case. Up there in North Dakota in the Bakken, those zones are 10,000 feet deep on the average, so they're fracking way below any kind of formations that have any kind of fresh water in them. But what could damage the water zones that people drink out of is if the casing in the vertical section of the well is not cemented properly, and that then the oil and the gas can come up around the outside of the vertical side of the casing there. See.
So is the casing all the way down to the end of the well to the blind hole,
no,
or is it just in the vertical section?
Just in the vertical section there. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the horizontal section is not cased. But what they do is they frack this horizontal section in stages. And so, again, I don't want to take up a lot of the time here.
It's fascinating. That's why I've been letting you have this much time. But your point is that there's fracking done well and there's fracking not done well.
Exactly. It's like anything. We drive well out there on the highway and some people don't. it's a matter of responsibility and irresponsibility. And there are standards set out there right now. And they're just checking on how to improve the standards so that this horizontal drilling doesn't encroach on freshwater zones. Yeah, that's the basic step of what they're after right now.
Bill, I noticed that one of the things in the California regulations would be the companies would have to disclose the chemical composition of the well stimulation treatment. What do you think about that portion of things?
You know, I think that's a good idea. Study that as well, because there are safe chemicals, there's unsafe chemicals, you know, just as we all know. And my point is, you know, they've improved the fracking fluids. But years ago, they never used the gels that they're using now. The gel is a viscous material which suspends the solids in the fracking fluid, which enhances the... What it is they pump the sand, just roughly quote-unquote sand, with the gel type of fluid. And that sand gets inside the fracture, and it props open the fracture to keep the fracture open so as the oil and gas can enter the well bore more efficiently.
Like putting a block in a door.
Exactly. Yeah. I appreciate your help on this, but I just wanted to explain this to the folks. This is kind of where it's at in a very brief I tried to keep it to 5 minutes for you.
I know. Well, I appreciate that, Bill. I appreciate your knowledge and your brevity.
You can call anytime. Glad to help you with any more details.
Stay on the line, because I want to get your number from, and Reed will get that off the air, but I'm going to put you on hold. Yeah. Bill, thanks for
that. Okay. You bet, bud.
Take care. Let's go to Pam and Dexter. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking about filibuster reform in the Senate and fracking regulations.
Hi. Well, as far as the filibuster goes, I think it should be a simple majority. I hate the idea that a small minority or a less than half majority can control anything, really. I've seen it work poorly in different groups I've been in, and sometimes it's like an ego pull where a few people are controlling what happens for the many, and it just doesn't seem right.
It becomes like a veto power.
Yeah, exactly. And as far as the fracking, I had just read, and the gentleman who just called in touched on it, and I'm not sure if he was talking exactly about what I just read about, but there's a Canadian company called GasFrac who eliminates the need for water altogether, and they use gelled liquid petroleum to frack the wells. And it seems to me that we should put all fracking on hold until we can get to use this technology totally. I mean, our water shortages and contamination the world over is one of the biggest issues. And I think bottled water costs more than gasoline almost now. And, you know, down in California, with climate change, there's going to be less and less water. So and the idea that you just notify the neighbors seems a little bit lenient. I think there should be a way for the neighbors to be part of the process. And the gas, the fracking companies, they should be totally responsible if something happens to a person's water supply, and they should have to pay for relocation, for whatever. And it's that way they're more accountable, and they're more likely to not just go in there and frack and get their money and then get out and go, oh, our bad, or you can't prove that our fracking did it. And, and then there's the issue of the earthquakes that have been caused by fracking. It just seems like we're always looking for more ways to get more energy instead of asking people to use less energy. God forbid people are conserving their energy and trying to be more conscious. It's always like, oh, we got a supply. People are going to need more energy. It's like, it just drives me crazy because we are so wasteful in this country. I can't believe, you know, the people, I go in their homes and they'll have, you know, 50 lights on and they'll have the heat on when they're gone. It just, people are not thinking of their consumption levels. And I just wish we would have a huge program on energy conservation and subsidizing their clean renewables, because fracking certainly is not clean and it's not renewable. So
all right,
that's my 2 cents.
All right, a topic for a future program. Pam, thanks for that. Pam and Dexter on the Jefferson Exchange. This is our Vents Day segment on the Exchange. Your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. Our topics this week: filibuster reform in the Senate. Is it time? If so, how do you reform the Senate's rules so that we stop getting to the requirement of 60 votes just to proceed to the actual vote, in which it could be 51-49. It could be 55-45. But we generally don't know, because it first has to clear that 60-vote hurdle. Is that proper? If not, how do you change it? That's one topic on Vents Day. The other one is fracking, hydraulic fracturing to get oil and gas out of the earth. How would you regulate that? California put a new set of rules, proposed rules on the table just last Friday under a Senate bill passed just this year. Those rules would take effect. Whatever ends up the final set of rules will take effect at the beginning of 2015. What is the proper approach to fracking regulation? Join us on the exchange with your thoughts on Vince Day. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. And our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. If you're wondering about the response from the fracking, pro-fracking groups in California, there's a quote from the president of the Western States Petroleum Association, a trade group in California. It says these regulations are extensive, but strike the right balance. It will ensure that the potential energy resources contained in the Monterey Shale Formation can be responsibly developed. So that it, with a response from one person who was in, with an environmental group, said, wait, if the oil and gas industry thinks these rules are okay, then they're probably not tough enough. The Monterey Shale Formation stretches from the central coast in California to the southern San Joaquin Valley. The belief is that there could be 14 billion barrels of oil locked in that formation, and getting the oil out could create 2.8 million jobs and $25 billion in additional state and local government revenues. Fracking does take place in California already. It's been going on for half a century in both oil and gas exploration. What's the proper approach to fracking? What's the proper approach to filibuster reform? Let's hear from you on Vince Day, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, jx@jeffnet.org. Nicole in Ashland, welcome to The Exchange. It's Vince Day.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say I appreciate the gentleman who spoke about fracking in such length and detail and explain the process neutrally. Mm-hmm. But as far as I'm concerned, fracking like mountaintop lobbing off mountaintops for coal because it's easier that way and they don't have to employ people and the corporations make such huge amounts of money from it. Well, fracking is the same type of thing and it's really threatening our water supply. Life on Earth is not possible without adequate water, and there is adequate water, and it could remain if people would just appreciate water for what it is, and that water is life.
All right, so no fracking or just strong regulations on fracking?
No, I think no fracking at all.
All right, Nicole, thanks for that. Appreciate it. That's the second caller to point out the whole issue with fresh water and the larger issue of the availability of fresh water. It's getting hard enough to find with 7 billion people on the planet. The population is not decreasing. We're talking about potentially 9 billion people, I think, by the year 2040. That's a lot of people to try to keep from getting thirsty with the amount of water we have available, fresh water, fresh, clean water available on the planet Earth at the moment. What are your thoughts on fracking and filibuster reform? Let's talk to Mary in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi, yes. I'd like to say that I'm definitely for the filibuster reform. Jeff Merkley has been pushing for it for a long time. And my understanding is that right now they can block legislation anonymously. And what the filibuster reform would do would make people have to do a talking filibuster, stand up and make their stand. And that would be, and that he is comfortable with having to live with the filibuster reform when they are not in the majority. All right. The other thing I'd like to say is that I would definitely want to ban fracking until they can prove that it's environmentally and health safe.
All right, so completely like 100% no accidents whatsoever?
I think we're going into such a dangerous time for our environment that I think our survival is dependent upon how we treat the environment and that we are very close to the edge of not being able to get the numbers down and that we're very close to getting to the point of no return in terms of the environment and having much more cataclysmic events that I don't think we have room to play anymore. Mm. So we really do have to make a stand.
All right, Mary, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Mary is a yes for filibuster reform and a no on fracking. And she's right that Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon is one of the major people pushing for filibuster reform, along with Tom Udall, both Democrats, Tom Udall from New Mexico. Their bill would require senators to actually be on the Senate floor if they seek to block legislation. The Merkley-Udall bill would require that filibuster petitions be filed by at least 10 senators and that members would have to speak continuously on the floor to keep a filibuster going. When they're done speaking, they would have to yield the floor and allow the Senate to proceed with the public's business. So no longer this threat of filibuster, filing a motion to say, yeah, I would filibuster this. It would take more senators, and they would actually have to speak. Right now, there's no actual filibuster. And if you're thinking about the Senator Cruz, the Senator Ted Cruz, you notice that people were calling it a faux filibuster when he was talking about Obamacare. It's because he wasn't actually doing more than just speaking in the Senate's time. It was not an actual filibuster. The Register Guard editorial about filibuster reform points to the Udall-Merkley bill and says it's a smart, simple, and appealing bill that would ensure that the minority party, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, retains the ability to slow progress and force extended debate on nominations or legislation without blocking the process altogether. That's the difference. Register Guard editorial concludes the Senate has been a black hole for too long. It's time for major filibuster reform. So a lot of people pushing for filibuster reform. It'll be interesting to see what Harry Reid, as the Senate president, chooses to do. If he gets any particular buy-in from Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader. Of course, everybody jockeying for a position with the 2014 elections coming up next that could change control of the Senate. That's all coming up. We'll be talking about this again. We've talked about it several times already this year. This is Vent Stay. This is the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for listening.